The new state solicitor general, Scott A. Kelly, has been on the job about 3 weeks, and already he has had to stand before the U.S. Supreme Court and defend Texas. On Wednesday, the High Court heard Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs v. the Inclusive Communities Project. At issue is a concept called disparate impact. And if Texas is violating disparate impact and discriminating against low-income, predominantly African-American families due to the way it administers housing grants, Hans von Spakovsky, writing for the National Review Online, says that disparate impact is not law and is nothing more than, quote, wishful thinking on steroids.
Well, the statute in question is the Fair Housing Act. And the key issue is whether you can be found to have violated that law, even if you had no intention whatsoever to discriminate on the basis of race and other factors, had no motive, no purpose in doing it, but whatever you did had a statistically disproportionate effect on people affected by the law, and it protects people based on race, gender, et cetera.
The Fair Housing Act, 1968, one of the civil rights era pieces of legislation, and that was supposed to prevent the intentional discrimination of denying people of selling them homes, renting them property. But it has expanded and has changed over the years.
It's funny you say it was intended to stop that kind of discrimination. In fact, look, that's the issue in the case. The language in the statute says that you can't act because of race or based on race. But the issue is, if you're not acting because of race or based on race, can you still be found guilty because it has a disparate effect on people who are trying to get housing? And yeah, there were some changes in the law in 1988. There were some amendments to it that put in some further exceptions into the law. And in fact, that was one of the subjects of the oral arguments. The exceptions they put in 88 said that, for example, it wouldn't be a violation of the law if a local place like Dallas put in a number saying you can't have more than a maximum number of occupants in a particular building.
Right. But when there is an overwhelming, even without the intent, without saying, you know, I just don't like these kinds of people, but then you have the outcome of a policy where it seems to be detrimental to a lot of those types of people, then people say, well, maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what the folks who sued the Inclusive Communities Project said. They said that should be considered a violation of the law. But the problem with that is this, and this was actually a question posed by the Chief Justice to the parties. They said, look, the whole issue here is the fact that the Texas Housing Authority provides tax incentives to developers to put in housing that poorer people can get into, you know, good housing that they can live in. And let's say that they decide they really want to integrate the suburban, mostly white, well-off suburbs of Dallas, and so that's where they concentrate those tax credits. Well, they could be sued by folks who say, well, that has a racially disproportionate effect on black residents of Dallas because you're not putting those tax credits in the inner city areas where blacks are a majority. And they could get sued because of that racially disparate impact. So let's say the agency decides, okay, we'll stay out of the suburbs. We want to improve the blighted inner city areas that are mostly black. We'll concentrate our tax credits there. Well, they could also then be sued over that. And in fact, that's exactly the claim made by the Inclusive Communities Project. They say the Texas agency concentrated those tax credits in the inner city areas and didn't send any out to the more white suburban areas. So in either situation, they can be sued for disparate impact, even though they had no intention to discriminate. So what is the agency supposed to do in that situation?
Well, the argument is that the disparate impact has a negative, harmful impact on the minority community. And so when Texas placed 92% of its tax credits in the Dallas Housing Project in minority tracks, And then they're saying it's very difficult. You're continuing the cycle of poverty. You're not allowing people to have access to quality schools, and they're in these crime-ridden neighborhoods. There's really not a lot of options for people if they want to break out of that.
Well, no, and I understand that argument. But the point is that there are other people who would argue that, in fact, this federal tax money, these tax credits, ought to go specifically to these areas to improve the terrible housing conditions there. So the argument can be made on the other side. If most of these tax credits are going into white suburban areas and they're not going into these blighted inner city areas, under this theory of disparate impact, the housing agency could be successfully sued even in that situation.
In your law commentary that appeared in the National Review Online, you call it a misbegotten theory, a dubious legal theory. I mean, there is not a lot of faith from your quarter about a disparate impact.
Well, yeah, but look, the thing is, there are federal statutes that use that language. There are federal statutes that Congress has passed where they have allowed disparate effects or disparate impact to be a violation of the law. That language is not in the Fair Housing Act. And, you know, if Congress wants to fix that, they can do it. But what's going on in this case is that folks want the court to interpret the statute that way, even though that language is not in the statute, and it's pretty clear that what Congress wanted to stop was intentionally discriminatory conduct, where people were trying to, for example, you know, keep folks out of housing because they were black, or not give them mortgages because they were black, not behavior that has nothing to do with race.
Well, today's civil rights activists say that, yes, we have moved beyond the brutish discrimination that we saw before the movement, before the 1960s progress, where it says, I just don't like, you know, fill in the blank, and then they can't come to my neighborhood, and I don't have to explain why. Now we have laws to protect that. But now discrimination has evolved into a much more nuanced way of, I can discriminate against blocks of people by coming up with rules and policies that somehow accomplishes the same goals. And disparate impact is a way to deal with the new methods of evolved discrimination.
Yeah, but look, if you're in court, which is what you have to go if you want to prove a case like this, if that's what's going on, if people are trying to use other non-discriminatory bases as a way of discriminating, that's something you can prove in court. And I don't have a problem in that situation with saying, well, of course, it's a violation of the law, and you provide a remedy. But again, that's disparate treatment on the basis of race. And the problem with a disparate effect is that it can cover all kinds of very legitimate concerns that local and state governments do that have absolutely nothing to do with race.
Hans von Spakovsky is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He is critical of disparate impact as a tool for civil rights enforcement. But John Hinnenberger sees things differently. He is a director of the Austin-based Texas Low-Income Housing Information Service.
The case before the court is a Dallas case where the state of Texas was shown to have concentrated its financial assistance for affordable housing apartments in a African-American part of town almost exclusively. And that resulted in the apartments that were built with this government program being available almost exclusively in low-income part of town where there are high rates of racial ethnic segregation, low-performing public schools, high crime, and other problems, thus depriving the residents, both present and future residents, of an opportunity to choose to live in a neighborhood other than a segregated neighborhood.
People who argue that disparate impact theory is being evident here, that we're seeing the unintentional discrimination against the African-American community because we're basically creating a ghetto for them through this policy. They're arguing this is discrimination even though there is no intent to discriminate. Is that right?
The federal court in Dallas found that the state had acted unlawfully and discriminated against African-American and minority households by restricting their housing choices in this manner. So this is clearly discrimination, even though it's not explicitly articulated by the state as discrimination. And it may be the case that the state doesn't have a particular discriminatory intent, but for all purposes, the effect on the people who need this housing is that they've been discriminated against.
But this went before the U.S. Supreme Court. We know they lean conservative. If they were to find that disparate impact theory is not applicable here, that there is no disparate impact, you have to show intent to discriminate, then if they rule that and Texas wins and the Inclusive Communities Project loses, what does that mean going forward?
The practical consequence of striking down disparate impact is to essentially erase the protections of the Fair Housing Act for people who are protected by the act. And that includes racial and ethnic minorities, blacks, Latinos, people with disabilities, and the like. That's because today the standard allows standard judges whether or not the effect of the discrimination can be demonstrated and found to have taken place by the court. And it's not the case today that very often people actually write down or publicly say, you know, the reason I am doing this is because I want to deny African Americans or Latinos access to housing. In the Dallas case, it was a government agency which had a practice which was discriminatory. And, you know, there wasn't a necessarily a intent. There wasn't a intent to discriminate, but the effect of the government actions was to discriminate. So from the standpoint of residents of the housing, the people who need the housing, they're essentially denied housing either way.
John Hinnenberger is a director of the Texas Low Income Housing Information Service, which is based in Austin. He is also a recipient of the MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant.